Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, and welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast, brought to you by HeadCheck Health. HeadCheck Health bridges gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Trek Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, who rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more. I'm Nick Mercer, and please support this podcast and by visiting and checking out the sponsors on the advertisers on my website, so concussiondoc.com. You can follow me on all social media, so Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Concussion Talk. And please subscribe, rate, and view this podcast on all podcast apps and software, and also on YouTube and GoodPods. Today I'll be talking to Georgia Banjo. Georgia Banjo is a correspondent with Britain correspondent with The Economist. She primarily focuses on health, which is appropriate because she's had quite an interesting history of brain injury herself. She has had brain injury, and she also worked as a brain injury support worker in London before joining The Economist. And since joining The Economist, she's done a lot of reporting on health and Britain. And her latest article is on how to fix the NHS, which is Britain's National Health Service. So you can check that out in the latest. This is the cover story of the latest The Economist magazine. So without further ado, here's Georgia. I'm on now with Georgia Banjo. So thank you so much for joining us for doing this podcast. And I guess we'll start off with a bit about yourself, what you do, but I guess included in that is you had a brain injury yourself. So please talk about that. You're just who you are, and also your brain injury, which is a major part of who you are. So,
sure. Well, no, it's really great to be here. So I'm Georgia Banjo. I am a writer for The Economist magazine. I'm on our Britain team, and I mainly cover health issues. And you're right. For a long time, I would say probably between 2009 and 2016, I had a brain injury myself. I had encephalitis, which is when your brain becomes inflamed.
I know people hear encephalitis, but I've heard
encephalitis.
Same thing. Yeah.
On your side of the Atlantic, exactly.
See you.
Yeah. Yeah, so in 2009, I was 16, and I had a rare form of autoimmune encephalitis, which I think a bit similar to you, Nick. I ended up in a few comas.
Yeah.
Took a long time to recover. Wow. Had a few relapses. So it was a long process, and I think I'd say I kind of finally recovered in 2016, although my family might disagree with that. I think they say I probably still have brain injury at times.
So you said you then worked with, or you worked with, as you had the brain injury yourself, with people with brain injuries, others with brain injury.
So I had a brain injury. I think as a result of the damage. So I had lots of seizures, lots of activity going on. And, you know, after that, I think it took my brain a long time to recover.
But you worked with, you also worked with.
So I also, I did. So when I was able to work after I'd got my degree, I thought, you know, I'd really like to kind of, you know, do something related. So I worked for, in the UK, there's a charity called Headway. It's a really great charity. It works for people with brain injury.
Follow them on Twitter or Instagram or whatever.
Exactly. So I worked with them in East London for a bit, which was really, I was a support worker. So I was going to visit people with brain injuries, try and, you know, help them adjust to their brain injuries. But sometimes, you know, many of them had brain injuries for a very long time. So it's just more like doing things they wanted to be.
Kind of learning from them, kind of? Because
learning from them.
If they had a brain injury for a long time, you had it for say 2017, 2018 when you started working.
Yeah. So, it was 2020 actually.
You had a brain injury for a long time yourself.
So there was a lot of learning. I think unfortunately then the pandemic obviously struck.
Yeah.
So I was only able to do that for a few months.
You guys were really locked down there, aren't you?
It was very locked down. So that kind of put pay to being a community worker and going out to meet people, unfortunately. But it was a great experience and I'm glad I got to do it.
So do you write about that experience for The Economist much, or do you kind of, you write about just general bigger issues about the policy and stuff, or do you work?
So it's a bit less personal. So for The Economist, I write mainly about policy, about kind of health topics, but it's less personal than my own experiences. Although every now and then, sometimes for our newsletters or for, you know, more personal things can come up.
Great. Well, actually, because I heard you on I interviewed Alex Popham in December myself on this podcast, and then I heard you on Babbage, which is one of the many. The Economist is like cornered the podcast market for information podcasts. I think it's got like so many podcasts, but one of them is Babbage, and the technology and obviously health and science as well. Mostly technology and science, I guess. But and so you're on talking about brain injuries with Natasha.
My colleague, exactly. Yeah. My colleague. Yeah.
So you interviewed Alex more about long term effects of concussion. Did you want to talk about because hopefully people here can go back to this episode 138 of this podcast or Babbage, the episode of Babbage, and listen to hear about that. But so what did you learn? Do you personally learn from Alex?
Yeah, no, Alex is great, isn't he? He was really great to chat to. Really open about his experience, which I think is great. So I guess I kind of learned from Alex. I think sometimes as a journalist, it's easy, isn't it? You can either get sucked into the facts and the science of things, or you can kind of get too obsessed with people and individual stories. And I think what Alex does is he's incredibly articulate about his experience. He can talk about the impact concussion had on his own life, as I'm sure he did on your podcast, but he can also talk about the wider themes, what he thinks needs to change. He's a rugby player, so what he thinks needs to change when it comes to concussion rules in rugby and in contact sports more generally. And I think he's got a really great perspective of that lived experience, but also the broader picture.
Do you share any of the same, same ideas, but share, you know, some similar experiences with us, so you could relate to him on a more personal level with him when you were talking to him?
Yeah, so this didn't come up on the podcast, but definitely, you know, he'd talk about, you know, I think he talked about a moment when he went for a cycle ride and he got lost. And that happened to me many, many times.
Oh, really?
Not so much cycling, more walking. I'd go for a walk and then I couldn't get home.
It's never happened to you, but I've heard that. So he said blacked out, but you, how you feel? How you how you would experience it as black.
So I think, yeah, well, for me, it was less, you know, maybe blacking out. It was more just completely not really knowing where I was or what I was doing, or and not being able to, I mean, I've got a terrible sense of direction anyway, yeah, but not being able to remember.
Doesn't help, but
just I remember sitting on the pavement and not knowing how I could get home or what to do. So I could definitely relate to what he was saying. So, and
at that moment, did you not comprehend like the idea of the streets, or if you saw a street planet, you'd be like, okay, I've seen the street before, but so what? Was it like that, or is it more like, or is it, yeah. Secondly, this is the draw I find this very interesting. Did you all come into all books like that? I don't know if I hear that, but the snap of the fingers. But document all at once, or did you just then it was slowly, you're like, I wonder where I'm going now.
You wonder where to be honest, it happened so many times and there's kind of different answers. So I think at times it was, I don't know if this is a thing for you, but just fatigue, right? Getting so exhausted.
Fatigue is a thing for me,
That I just
not
didn't.
Not losing direction,
I couldn't really, you know, I'd be too tired even to think about where I should be. And then the other times it's, just everything looking new, not really knowing where I was. Mm. And then other times it was just, probably being overwhelmed by the situation, or kind of being not able to concentrate on kind of recognizing, you know, signs that, you know, roads I've walked down dozens of times before, but not quite being able to focus on, you know, establishing where I was. So I think it was lots of different ways to get lost.
So was it similar when you went to, sorry, I'm going to jump a little bit here, but when you went to visit Alice, was it similar to your experiences with going to be as you were a support worker? Was it a similar experience when you visit Alice? Was it similar, like, as in you had to kind of take the role?
Well, sadly, I never got to meet Alex in person.
Oh, no.
It was only, you know, like wedding now over Zoom. But I mean, I find it fascinating. I'm sure you do too, as a podcaster.
Yeah.
When people share their story with you, it's always a kind of quite a privilege in a way, isn't it?
It is. The story told about how he got lost in a bike ride, but he had to call his wife and know where he was. I mean, you had so much experience of walking. I've never had that experience, but I can imagine just the sheer, I don't know, not necessarily fear, because it'd be too confused to really be. Were you scared when you lost your way, or were you just too tired really to even know they should be scared? Were you just like just overwhelmed more? As you said, you used to use the word overwhelmed. I think it's probably, obviously you're a writer, so you know the best word, but I think that's probably the best word to use. Is it just that, or is there any fear, or is it just?
So I remember when I was at university. So I was at university when I had a brain injury as well. And I remember one particular time when I got lost, but I got lost in a courtyard. So I was in the kind of college building.
Okay.
There was a quad, but I just walked round and round this courtyard for about 20 minutes. And I remember just feeling I felt completely scared and overwhelmed. And eventually I had to ask someone how to get out. And there was only one exit, right? So it wasn't very hard. But my brain was just so overwhelmed in that moment.
Is that's where you came in too? Is that the way you came in?
And I couldn't find my way out. I was just going round and round, and it was quite obvious. But I think that's it. And I think that's, it can be, can't it? I mean, just when your own brain isn't working for you, it can be totally terrifying when you're aware of that. Sometimes you're too tired to notice. But
exactly, too tired to consume, but just figuring out where you're not willing to say where you are, I guess, is more of the story, but I've never really experienced that. But I know sometimes just a moment, like where I am, like what's going on, like figure yourself out. You can't really, you can't be scared to. Maybe should be scared. Maybe just scared. People say, like, "Oh, that must be scary." It's not the first reaction you think of. You think of just how can I fix this situation I'm in, and or how can I locate myself? So that the podcast that Babbage was now Babbage in February. So is this year in February 17th, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or 16th or 17th, yeah. But so you and you talked to Alex about what the legal repercussions of what he's trying to do. So
yeah,
what was that? What was he trying to do for? Because you cover Britain in general.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So that's why we were speaking to him. So for a couple of years now, really, there's been some progress in a few lawsuits, which involve rugby players, mainly in England, but also in Wales and in a few other countries, suing the sporting bodies for injuries they sustained playing rugby and the kind of damage it's done to their brains. So Alex is a big part of those lawsuits. What they're really trying to do is to demonstrate a link between playing rugby and all, I don't know how familiar your listeners are with rugby. It's, I guess, similar in some ways to American football or those kind of high impact.
I just had my episode 154 was with, and I just got a pocket with them at their rugby club in town in St. John's in Newfoundland.
Okay,
but I mean, because they know rugby very well because they love it. But that's more here. There's no actual padded American football in Newfoundland.
Right.
But in Canada.
I'm showing my ignorance.
No one in Canada even knows this. Like, it's just hardly, it's just like Newfoundland is weird like that. There's some, but there's no like high school football or college football here, but like, there isn't like rest of Canada, just not in this province, Newfoundland, Labrador.
Right.
So,
you know about rugby. Great.
Little quirk, but I know I've watched it. I like it. And still, me and my listeners, I'm sure, don't. So,
well, it's basically he's in rugby, it's a very high impact sport. There's lots of crashing into one another, tackling each other, lots of collisions. And Alex, I think, thinks he's had 100,000 impacts to the head.
Wow.
Over the course of his career. I think that's right. So he would obviously have told you better than I can. But the impacts of those blows, those cumulative blows, seems to be connected to a series of neurodegenerative conditions. So things like early onset dementia, CTE, Parkinson's. There's a kind of suite of these diseases which seem to be linked to sustained blows to the head. So what Alex, I guess, and his, I guess, former colleagues are trying to do is obviously, first of all, get compensation for their injuries, but also raise awareness of the dangers, perhaps, of playing the sport without any kind of guidance, without the right support for concussive injuries. Yeah.
So I think it's now, it's like, I also remember you saying on Babbage that at that time you had broken your foot or injured your foot, like your sideline because of that. So that's a thing that people know about. So you're playing soccer, football, soccer, right? Is the foot better now?
Well, very kind of you to ask. So, so when we recorded that podcast, literally a few days before, I'd broken my foot playing football.
Were you supposed to go into the studio to record?
Well, I stayed at home, so that's I was meant to go in, and I then recorded from my bed with my foot firmly up. So it was on, you know, sporting injuries were on my mind when we recorded that. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, injuries happen in sport.
We all
love sport, you know, it's
part of the excitement.
But there's risk involved, right? Exactly. But I think the difference with brain injuries is, one, often there's not the awareness of them. People are taking that risk without necessarily knowing that they might get dementia.
They're surprised by the outcomes. Yeah,
exactly. And then also it's just more serious, isn't it? If I break my foot, it's bad, but you know, I am recovering. Thank you for asking. But if I, you know, really damage my brain, that's a lot harder to heal. So it's a question of degree, I would say.
And those his organization is Head for Change, which is, and also there's a, I don't know if you know Stephen Thompson on the show. I know what it is, but he's also followed me, or I follow him both on Twitter, and I know he is. He's talking about early onset dementia. He has suffered from his rugby career. I'm not sure how well known it is in England, but it must be probably seems to be well very well known in England. And
he's a World Cup winner, Steve Thompson.
Just recently, just like 2017 or 2019 when they won.
No, so I think they won 20 years ago now, 2003.
Oh, so he's
I still remember it. I still remember it against Australia. Great game.
Do you play rugby yourself?
I never played rugby, but you know, I watched that World Cup final. It was a great team.
Yeah, are you back at soccer now or football? Or are you still a footballer? Still keep me out?
Yeah, so I think I rushed it a bit, so I kind of started trying to jog, and you're meant to jog 1 minute and then walk 5 minutes and jog 1 minute, and I got bored and I jogged 2 minutes instead of one, and I think I set myself back.
And you did it once and you're like, that's pretty good, doesn't feel that bad, and shouldn't look like 20k.
yeah, so right. It was a bit stupid really, so I think it might be a good month before I'm back playing football.
Yeah, but that's the thing also about brain injury is if you did that because we're just a tendency of one of those, you like they say, like the gradually return to sport, return to learn. So people may get bored with just returning, just, oh, you know, I'm jogging, just going through the motions like for a few days or a week before I can get contact. And yeah, I feel fine. So I'll just go back and I'll just, as you said, I can brush it. I'm just kind of like, go ahead, practically go ahead and say, I'll take a bit of contact, it's not going to hurt. And then all of a sudden, you got a second impact syndrome of deep concussions, and early onset dementia is not very far off that. So it's just kind of these unknown cumulative effects that I think are very important that all the your writing and your podcasting and at least all the Alex Popham's organization Head for Change also alert people to this. But I want to ask you also about you said you think you've had concussions as well, as I know you had the, or did you or do it from soccer or from just living?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure if I've had a concussion. So I think, so obviously your injury was traumatic, right?
Yeah, it's severe. Mine, there
was
no,
worse than a concussion.
Yeah, but there was no, but the thing is, mine was, there's no discerning. Don't like, I wonder if he had a brain injury. I wonder if he had a concussion. It's like, I was out for 2 weeks. I was in a coma. So I was like, I needed to, if I didn't go to the hospital, I would die. I'd go to the hospital like that second, I would die. But, you know, so it's very severe, which sucks. But, you know, also, that's like kind of blessing in disguise, because I'm happy now, and I know that I had a brain change. Whereas people go through life, the 40 years not knowing that they've had a bunch of subconcussive hits or, you know, semi brain injuries, and then all of a sudden you've got early onset dementia or you've got some bad CT here. So yeah, sorry, but you're saying something.
No, I'm curious. So you said, do you think you're happier now?
I was 23 at the time, so I don't know if happier. I'm happier now, because definitely because I've kind of more like at peace, you know, like, I'm still trying to improve my, I'm not peace that way, I'm peace like just the meditation and yoga stuff like that, and I cold showers and all the habit of heaviness stuff, and the way I look at life and it's totally different than did you find that as well? Did you feel like differently?
I just find this really interesting, because I think that's surprisingly common, right?
Yeah. When
someone goes through a really awful thing.
Yeah.
And yet you can often, at the end of it, you know, there's a long journey, there's a lot of suffering, but often you can end up feeling more content at the end of it. Perhaps because you've got a greater awareness of
life. Exactly. I'm definitely more content and just happy to do whatever, and I'm not like concerned about the other people. That people always say that, but I mean just other, just outside things, I put myself and who's around me, my clothes, just everything. I can't even say that, I can't even enumerate why I'm happy and who I'm happy, not to wit, and why I'm just, but I'm just in general, just overall, just life, just taking life in and just knowing that it's, and it feels kind of philosophical, knowing that it's not anything that's, I don't say I'm not, it's important, but it's like, it's not necessarily, it's not the way we perceive it. Not the way I perceived, at least for 23 years, not the way I can tell that other people perceive it, and not the way it's shown on, you know, TV or whatever, or any movies or anything. So, and by just society in general, it's not the way it's perceived or shown or manifesting, but it just makes having this attitude of just like to be common to it, knowing that's just life is what it is, and it's just fun to be around and just experience. Even the pain, for example, is not necessarily pain. That's only, but we pursue. We still, I've seen, like, do you feel the part that think that the excitement and nervousness, there's like the same physiological emotions, same physiological feelings, but it's just your perception of what exactly excitement or nervousness is. So just stories you tell yourself, and that's all it is. Just life is just stories you tell yourself, different experiences. So yeah, I'm rambling.
It's and I guess that's about being alive, isn't it? Feeling things, even if you don't always appreciate it in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just thank you so much for doing this podcast with me. And basically, before I even let you go, would you have anything else you wanted to touch on, but I forgot about, or that you want to bring up about questions or brain injury?
No, it's just great speaking with you. I guess I'd say, you know, we obviously first got in touch because of these rugby lawsuits and Alex is doing. And I think, you know, that they will probably drag on for a while, but I think they will be. It's a very kind of important, it's an important moment, I think. So obviously we had the concussion lawsuits in America, you know, with the NFL. You know, they were the really high profile ones that were settled in 2013. But this is, you know, they're going on in multiple countries. Rugby is, you know, in a way, I guess, a more international sport than American football.
Definitely,
right?
Definitely is.
And it's really what happens there could be quite impactful. And it's already changing the sport as well. So, you know, Alex and, you know, Steve Thompson and all those guys are already making a difference, you know, by campaigning on this and sharing their stories. And I think, you know, it'll be, you know, it's something to watch out for in the next couple of years is where this goes.
Definitely. And actually, I thought of something else I want to ask you about. You think you play soccer, football, like how you want to call it, but I guess a fair bit when you were injured, before you're injured. But I mean your foot. I don't mean like concussions. We played, many of you have played it before, obviously, but do you find that there's more recognition in soccer and football of the heading about just going up your header or just body contact joints more? There's more known, more understood, appreciated about concussions and head injury.
Totally. Yeah. No, there's a lot more awareness now, isn't there? Yeah, I think.
That's just where it is.
Yeah, I think in a lot of, you know, when kids are playing and when amateurs like me are playing, you know, often they're like, you know, don't head the ball unless you want to. I think people are more aware now of, you know, we were talking about the kind of impacts of those cumulative knocks to the head.
Yeah.
So if you head the ball, you know, thousands of times in your career, I mean, it does seem clear now that you increase your risk of dementia and other kind of illnesses. So I think there's definitely a lot more awareness. I think people are more aware about the risk to their health. And I think as long as you're aware, I mean, you know, there's so many great things about playing football, even about heading the ball, you know.
Yeah.
It can be fun, but you just have to be aware of the risks.
Yeah, exactly. It's more about just knowing what the risks are necessarily. But that's also tough to say. You should know and then not know. And just always litigation and lurking. So, you know, there's...
Yeah.
So it's very tricky subject, but it's something that should be addressed, that we should address as a society and as governing bodies as well. It's just everybody should just realize that although it may be difficult to do, but it doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. It's one of these challenges that's better because of the marching because of the challenge. Hopefully not marching, but I hope it's marching because you don't want to hurt people, but the challenge makes it something, I don't know, just more appealing to people to overcome a challenge than to just whitewash, just say, okay, no doing this, no doing that, or don't do this, or do this, do it this way, and just have it accepted right away. But the challenges make it feeling more accomplished feeling will be, I'm rambling, but yeah. Right. So I think if you're more accomplished, it'll be great. So now I think this time is, thank you very much. And also please sound second Georgia because when I stop the podcast, I'll just stop and I don't want to be like, oh, bye, see you later on this. It feels rude. So I'll just say goodbye to after. But for everyone listening, if you do have to tell everybody how they can find out your stuff and what are you working on now, not necessarily, doesn't need to be head of your brains or head, you just, what are you working on and where can they find your writing?
No, that's nice of you. So I'm, you can find my work through The Economist website. I've just today actually finished a really big piece on the NHS here, the National Health Service.
Great.
A bit of a nightmare to write because it's a very complicated topic here in the UK. So that's great that's now out. And you can find me on Twitter at Georgia Banjo, even though I don't tweet that much, but I'm trying to tweet a bit more. So
that's where I found you. But it seems to be a lot. Looked like you were in South America at the time.
I was in Brazil for a bit.
Okay.
Yes, last year I was in Brazil, nice. Which was amazing. I would recommend you get the chance to go.
Nice. I will. So thank you so much. And again, please check out Georgia Banjo at Georgia Banjo on Twitter or search Georgia Banjo on the Economist website, economist.com or .eu, or is it?
Yeah, so unfortunately we don't have byline, so you won't ever be able to tell what I've written unless you follow me on Twitter. You can see obviously my colleagues write amazing stuff as well. So
and the NHS story is yours.
The NHS story is mine. Yes.
Okay, well, that and that is out now.
It's out now. Yeah, it's the cover story, actually, so it's easy to find.
Well, geez, and the Pickle Magazine, and they're at the kiosk in the airport or whatever, or just any kiosk, and just pick up the Pickle George's story in The Economist. And so thank you so much, and thank you everyone for listening. And now my hand is hovering over this. We're going to find the stop button, but thank you so much. And as hopefully people in Canada will be aware, next month is brain injury awareness month in Canada. So I know that my organization, the Newfoundland Labrador Brain Injury Association, is doing hopefully it'll be nice weather, because there's no guarantee here at all, but it'll be not raining. But next Saturday, so it'll be June 3rd. At Bryant Park, there's a walk, rabbit walk. So please attend that, and you can follow it, go to the website and pledge support. And so see you there. I'll be to raise more awareness. And otherwise, thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. You can listen to me next time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.